Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So at Boy Scout camp, my son, he learned a terrible, terrible tradition. He'd come home from camp, and I was cooking dinner, and he asked me if I wanted to hear a joke. I love kid jokes. I love dad jokes. I love terribly corny jokes like the one that you learn at Boy Scout camp. I say, sure. And so he begins to tell me this story that goes on for like 5 minutes, and it has all of these twists and all of these turns. It builds with anticipation. It has me on the edge of my seat. The food's burning because I'm so interested in what he's saying. And then just when I think he's about to hit the punchline, he keeps going. And he keeps going. And then when his mouth opens for what I'm sure is going to be the end, the climax of the story, he stops. And he walks away. With a smile on his face. He's not allowed to tell jokes anymore. See, I hate not knowing the end of the story. In fact, my wife has no problem with this. If we're watching like a movie together and it's a really bad movie, she'll just turn it off. Who does that? Right? I can't. So she'll turn it off, and then like after she goes to bed, I'll turn it back on because I have to finish the rest of the story. So friends, I get great satisfaction out of today's gospel because it tells us the story of how God concludes God's lineage of Old Testament prophets with John the Baptist, and how God begins then something new with Jesus. So today the gospel begins with John the Baptist, and it starts by telling us immediately about John's message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then it goes on to tell us his role by quoting from the prophet Isaiah. He is the one, the voice calling out in the wilderness. And then it describes his dress, camel hair and leather belt, and what he ate, locust and honey. And all of these are leading to a single conclusion that John the Baptist is a prophet in the lineage of those of the Hebrew Bible. The Gospel of Luke, it tells us explicitly that it is in the spirit of the Old Testament prophet Elijah that John will live and conduct himself in the world. Now, in popular culture, a prophet's role is to tell the future. That's like Nostradamus, right? We all like those kind of prophets, right? Because they're fun to listen to. They tell the future. But in religion, in Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam, a prophet is someone who is regarded as being in contact with God. And they are speaking on God's behalf towards the world. So the prophet serves as an intermediary between God and humanity, and they deliver God's message as a teaching to the world. That's a prophet. And we see in this passage that John is doing just that. So one day, John, he's out in the world, and he's baptizing people, and then he sees all of the religious leaders coming towards him. And he rebukes them. You brood of vipers. You swine. You cockroaches. You scallywags. And like the prophets of the Old Testament, He's calling his own people to the proving grounds to show them that they've gone astray. He tells them, even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and therefore anyone who doesn't bear good fruit is going to be chopped down. See, the imagery in his message here is that God, who is righteous, will cut down those who do not bear good fruit. And so John is continuing this message, the righteous need to help the unrighteous so that the unrighteous, so they don't perish. See, John, he lives in this hierarchical world, and his message is against this hierarchical world, but he still doesn't have the full picture. And that's evident when he encounters Jesus. So Jesus, he comes to John, and John says to him, No. I can't be baptized by you. You come to me. No, that's not going to work. See, John understands the hierarchical nature of who Jesus is. John knows that he's in the presence of God incarnate. He knows that he is the one lacking in fruit. The axe is at the base of his tree. He is the one who is unrighteous in the presence of the righteous one. And so John says to Jesus, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. And then with one sentence, Jesus puts an end to John's theological talk, his theological framework. Jesus tells John, let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is basically telling him, it used to be that the righteous would provide for the unrighteous. It used to be that there was this hierarchy in place, but Jesus, he comes to flip all of that upside down. And so John baptizes Jesus. The lesser baptizes the greater. Humanity is going to baptize divinity because Jesus has come to serve the world, not tyrannically reign over it. This is such a long-standing theological tradition in Christianity that in the book of Philippians, they have what's called the Christ hymn, and this is what it says. Though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, in Jesus' baptism, in his whole life, he's showing that his way is not to live righteously in order to dominate, but to live in humility in order to serve. Those who are higher in the religious pecking order must bring themselves down. And that's the way of life that he led the way in. See, being a Christian, it means that we live out our discipleship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't get to pick and choose when we want to live as disciples. It means that we recognize that first and foremost, we are in need. We need a Savior. It means that we understand that we don't have the power and the strength on our own, but we need a power and a strength from outside of ourselves to be these disciples. See, friends, true happiness can only come when we humble ourselves. True joy is not when we receive, but when we give. Contentment, it doesn't come when we seek revenge, but when we forgive. See, being a disciple means that we live from the core of Jesus' upside-down kingdom. We give our time, we give our gifts, we give our whole selves away to others. And in Jesus' baptism, he leads the way and he shows us that the greatest are called to become the least. See, God's story, it resolves not with us as believers being raised up to dominate the world, but with us recognizing that serving the world is a far more fulfilling role than judging it. Friends, Jesus, he never asks you to go somewhere where he hasn't been first. And it begins with baptism. It continues with a life of service, with a life of speaking good news to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Friends, you are a part of the end of God's story. So serve, love, forgive. When you do all of these things, the kingdom of God is here. Amen.